As businesses slowly begin to reopen, workers will transition from either unemployment or working from home back to the regular routines of our jobs. But we've had time to think, and we've been forced to do things differently. While some are eager to get back to the way that we've always done things, others are wondering if this is a chance to do it differently. Will COVID-19 change the way we work? Has it made some flaws in our attitudes toward work more obvious? Phyllis Moen helps us answer those questions. She holds the McKnight Presidential Chair in Sociology at the University of Minnesota. She studies occupational careers, gender, families, and well-being over the life course. Phyllis is also the author of several books, including her latest, which is co-written with Aaron Kelly. It's called Overload: How Good Jobs Went Bad and What We Can Do About It. Phyllis, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's start with people who are working from home, because regardless of whether they're finding it enjoyable or beneficial, we now know that it's possible to do lots of work remotely. What do you think people are realizing now?
Absolutely. This has been a sea change in the way we work. 7% prior to COVID-19 were able to work at home, not that they all did. Now 60% of the workforce is working from home. So this is really different. And what workers are finding is that there are good things and bad things about working from home.
So what are some of them then? What are people realizing about the opportunities that can find when they don't have to go into the office?
They love getting rid of the commute, getting rid of getting dressed up anyway, and having the ability potentially to better manage work and family responsibilities. What they don't like is that, in a way, instant access has become the new FaceTime, that people expect you to be always on, to respond immediately to emails, to take every Zoom call. And this can be very frustrating in terms of getting your work done as well as at managing those kids that are invariably around.
Sure, you should be able to take my call. What else are you doing right now? You're just at home.
Yes, absolutely. So we have the clash of old rules and new realities, and they don't mix very well.
Do we know what employers are seeing when people are working from home and how they're managing expectations that way?
Yeah, employers are finding that people can be more productive. And that is going to, I believe, lead to at least different ways of working, including hybrid work arrangements. So some days maybe at the workplace and other days working remotely. They also are seeing that it's difficult to manage employers remotely. They're having to rethink their routines and their expectations about how and when work is done.
And when it comes to some of the opportunities, I think that, you know, workers are finding, you mentioned there's a sort of flexibility in trying to manage the different aspects of our lives. I can imagine a future where we are expected to be back in offices all the time, where people are expected to be back at work. And then that flexibility kind of goes away, or people are going to have to negotiate to try to keep that intact. Do you think that will be widespread, or is that just a case by case sort of a situation?
I think people have tasted a new way of working, and this is going to make going back to old ways seem virtually impossible. But, you know, in our study, when we looked at people who worked at home, they had reduced stress, more job satisfaction, they were less likely to turn over, but it was because they were choosing to work at home. The difference now is this is imposed by the employer and by the state, so that it may have positive effects and may have negative effects. What I hope we move to is where people have greater discretion and choice about where and when they work and more control over those things.
Do you think that's reasonable? You say you hope we move to that, but do you think that employers and employees can work together and figure that out?
In a randomized field trial we did in a Fortune 500 company that we talk about in our book, that we found exactly that. And it really, as I say, reduced stress, enhanced general feelings of well-being. People exercised more, they slept more, they were more in control of their time. The dirty secret is that the way we currently work, or at least the way we worked before COVID-19, is really unsustainable. It's unsustainable for creativity and performance at work, and it's definitely unsustainable for workers' health and well-being.
We can talk more about that in just a moment. We're talking with Phyllis Moen, who studies careers, gender, families, and lifelong well-being. And you're part of this conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about working from home versus going back to the office? How have you experienced work under COVID-19? And what does it have you thinking about when things go, I guess, for lack of a better term, back to normal? You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. And your new book that's coming out that you've co-authored called Overload, How Good Jobs Went Bad and What We Can Do About It, that's a lot to pack into one title. Where do you see some of the overlap in research for that book and the conversations you've been having in this pandemic?
Yeah, it's working at home. It's working differently. And what we found and what I see today is the need to clarify expectations, to really step back. Employers and their managers and their teams need to step back and think, what are the tasks that are really necessary? What is value added? Is a particular meeting necessary, or has it just become routine with no reasonable agenda? How can we really reassess expectations as well as timelines? We've been working often under impossible deadlines. Everything seems to be due yesterday. And can we rethink and reappraise these deadlines so that we're not always doing fire drills? We're not always having to multitask and split our attention five different ways.
All of that makes sense when we're talking about it from a worker's perspective, but I could see employers saying, you know, yes, this is the way we've always done it, but there's also a reason for it, and I know it's hard, and we just have to keep doing it because there's no better option. So how do you deal with the employer side of that when they are sometimes less likely to make adjustments?
I think if they can see, and they are seeing from this work at home social experiment that we're doing, they can see that employees do perform better. They're more creative. They have time to hit the pause button and be more creative and more responsive in terms of the tasks that are needed to do. But employers are also going to have to really think about new performance metrics so that it shouldn't be that the person in the office the longest, who gets there before the manager and leaves after the manager leaves, is seen as the good worker, the valued worker. Instead, we're going to have to think about results, not time. What are we really about in this organization and in this team? What should we get done? And decide on key the mission-driven tasks, such as developing reasonable deadlines and figuring out what constitutes reaching the objectives that they desire.
Greg from Sheboygan wants to join the conversation. Hi, Greg.
Hello. I work at a place in Sheboygan, and it's a meat processing plant, Wisconsin. It's a really nice place. I love it. But I won't go back to work because I have COPD and I'm 66. But I used to be a biochemist. And I worked on a couple of things that they were worried about becoming epidemics, Legionnaire's disease, and also the Keystone virus and the mosquitoes. And I was a biochemist at Walter Reed. And in Walter Reed's the guy with the malaria, so I did malaria studies, and I jumped into Leishmania and all sorts of different things. But I can tell you exactly how the only way we can conquer this disease, and it's just stupidly simple. They manufactured an antibody and an antigen test, and the antigen test isn't as accurate as the antibody, but the antibody takes longer. But we have to, every single lab that can make them, if you give me the reagents, I can make it. But anybody who can make it must make these tests, and we must stop everyone from leaving their homes for one full day and test everyone.
All right. Thanks for that, Greg. And what I heard Greg say at the very beginning, other than the stay home at the end, is just that, you know, Greg works at a meat processing plant. Phyllis, we've been talking a lot about offices, but factories and plants, they present a different kind of situation when it comes to figuring out what the expectations are from here on out. Do you think work in those places changes, too?
I hope it does, because it's unsustainable the way it is. In a lot of these workplaces, the schedules are set on the Friday before the following week. So people are not able to plan for a dentist appointment or going to their child's sports activity. We need to rethink and give people more predictability about when they're going to work for those who cannot work remotely. So predictability is important, and supportive supervisors are important, as well as what Greg is talking about, good healthcare practices.
We're talking with Phyllis Moen, the McKnight Presidential Chair in Sociology at the University of Minnesota, and we're talking about how COVID-19 could change our attitudes and our expectations of work. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Maybe you've been working adjusted hours or working from home because of COVID-19. Are you thinking about asking to continue that schedule after the pandemic, after the health scare has been mitigated? What do you like about your currently changed schedule? Or maybe you've been unable to work. So will your expectations of your employer change when you have to go back? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Our conversation continues here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about what work looks like as we get a handle on COVID-19 and put people back in offices and stores and classrooms. Sociologist Phyllis Moen is our guest as we figure out how this pandemic might or might not change the way we work and the way we feel about our work. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you hope changes about your job as we emerge from this pandemic? Do you wish that you had more flexibility at work, or maybe you're unable to work right now? Are you thinking you just want to get back to normal, or maybe you'd like to see some changes now that you've had time to go over it? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And we just talked about processing plants, things like that. But, of course, workers in those plants, in manufacturing, retail, restaurant work, a lot of those people can't work from home. It's just not an option. Do you think that our attitudes about that kind of work have changed at all in this pandemic, Phyllis?
I hope so. I think we're seeing that many of these workers are essential to our way of life, and we're valuing them in different ways. But they, too, often experience overload. There's too few staff, and demands are ratcheted up, so they have too much to do and too little time to do it. Too few working colleagues that are there. We've cut our workforce in many places to the bone and expect others to work smart and to do more with less. But you can't do more with less continually. It's simply not sustainable. One thing we could do is rethink what is really necessary work and get rid of the things that aren't necessary, like the report that no one reads or the meeting that where nothing important is ever discussed, to rethink so that we can trim down the sheer amount of work that people have to do.
People tend to sacrifice a lot for their jobs, especially when we're going into those places. You know, our world revolves around work, and that's many days a week. And right now it seems like we are trying to do our work, but also putting more time focused on our family or our personal time. Is that something that you think will be sustainable, or will employers, you know, eventually say that was fine for the moment, but now we need you back here and we need you focused?
I think that we can't go back to old ways of doing things. There will be a new normal. What it is, we can't see. What I would like to see is for us to reimagine and redesign how work is done, where and when work is done in the current crisis, but also beyond it. Getting rid of low-value work, thinking about how people communicate and when they communicate, and working as a team with managers to figure out how best to meet the objectives of the firm, but also to have time for themselves and time for their families. One thing we've learned from this crisis is that, in fact, what we've always secretly known but not officially recognized is that people have families and personal lives. This is really obvious now when a child goes across the screen when you're Zooming or a dog barks. People have lives, and work is going to have to be arranged differently to recognize the need for time out, both for recreation, for family, but also simply for mental health.
Phyllis Moen studies careers, gender, families, and lifelong well-being. And we're taking your calls as we talk about what work looks like and how it changes because of the way we're figuring out how to work during this pandemic. There's still time for you at 800-642-1234. You can also share your story, your experience, or your questions with us at ideas@WPR.org. Phyllis, you mentioned employees working with managers as a team, and I wonder how you would recommend a worker start a conversation if they can point out, you know, that work that really doesn't have a big return and bring it up to a manager and say, hey, can we do this differently? How do you approach those situations from the worker standpoint?
I think it would be best if one talked to the team and the manager as well, as simply asking questions such as, what are the costs of the current practices, the way we used to work before COVID-19? The idea that there are costs to doing that. There are health costs, but there's also the quality of the work suffers when people are asked to do too much and too little time. Asking what is being rewarded today, and are those the tasks and the traits that actually matter? What gets it rewarded is often long hours on the job, either online or before the crisis in one's seat at work. Is that what we really want to measure, or are there other things that matter? So developing new performance appraisals. What is really valued, not simply time in the office or time online?
And you encourage us to have those kinds of conversations and evaluate it.
Absolutely. And if there's little response, at least then rethink what you yourself are doing and how you could maybe change at minimum your way of thinking. So, for instance, to not think of long hours as a badge of honor. You know, we all say we come in, used to come in, but even now say, well, I worked all weekend, as if this is a positive thing. We need to rethink our mindsets and reevaluate how we think and equate time with good work. They're not necessarily the same. And think about when, where, and how you work best. What are the conditions? All of us can think about and remember when we do our best work. It's usually when we're not constantly interrupted. So how can you create spaces to have time to not be interrupted? Constant interruptions are antithetical to good work. And figure out how you can trim unnecessary work in your own job without official policies. Maybe don't accept every call and meeting automatically, but ask, am I really needed on this call? Is this something that I can contribute to or not? And support coworkers in their lives, and they will support you. We're all in this together. How can we work differently, supporting one another as whole people, not just as workers? And change routines to fit your family and personal life if necessary. Right now, we've sacrificed, before COVID-19, I should say, we sacrificed everything, family, health, to the job. I don't think people are willing to go back to that again.
All right. And we just have a few moments left, and we've got Dennis from Two Rivers who wants to talk with us. Hey, Dennis.
Hi, Phyllis. I just heard you mention something about a new normal, and I just wonder, with all the changes we're going through, how do we know when we've reached a new normal?
Oh, fair question, Dennis. We know we're in a time of transition now, but how do we know when we land there, Phyllis?
I think when you see the way we work changing, someone said, one CEO that we talked to said, the normal here is the way we work is at work. And he wanted long hours, but he also wanted people to be on a call on the weekends. When these rules change, when people stop expecting 24/7 accessibility, we'll know we're at a new normal. When people have flexibility that isn't mother may I accommodation, like can I particularly have this time off, but that work time is not considered the metric, but the means of getting work done. And when it's not seen as having negative career consequences to take time out for your family or personal life, then we'll know we're at a new normal.
All right, Phyllis, thank you so much for explaining your perspective and your research with us today.
Thank you.
Phyllis Moen holds the McKnight Presidential Chair in Sociology at the University of Minnesota, and she studies occupational careers, gender, families, and well-being over the course of life. She's also the author of several books, including her latest, which is co-written with Aaron Kelly. It's called Overload: How Good Jobs Went Bad and What We Can Do About It.